welcome to the conversation on this solstice day, the longest day of the year for us.
So it is.
Good morning, Chris Vandeker.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Really significant gathering in town this week.
Huh? You bet. And we're going to have a couple of conversations that focus on all of that.
Good.
Starting with this one. Now, this week, researchers from around the world are meeting at the 13th International Coral Reef Symposium. One of its goals is to improve trust and communications among scientists, policymakers, managers, and stakeholders. Elizabeth McLeod is a climate adaptation scientist with the Nature Conservancy, and she works to engage faith communities in that conversation. And she's in our studio this morning for another conversation. Hello there.
Hi there, Beth Ann. How are you?
Nice to see you. Thanks. You know, we don't normally think about engaging, you know, faith conversations in conservation conversations. How did those two worlds converge for you as a scientist?
Well, about 15 years ago, I did my undergraduate in religion, focusing on Asian religion and philosophy. And then I started my work with the Nature Conservancy. And over the years working in conservation, I was always surprised at how infrequently we engaged faith groups. And I always saw that as a real opportunity. So I was really excited a couple of years ago to start a project. It was actually a science project to explore how we can broaden our engagement with religious groups around the world.
And how was that received by the Nature Conservancy and other groups?
It's funny you should ask that. I often get two reactions. The first reaction is, well, aren't we doing this anyway? And I think many folks are surprised that we're actually only engaging faith groups in less than 15% of the sites that we work in globally. But the other side is I often get a lot of pushback. I think there's a fear, there's a feeling that we need to assess the risk. I think there's a natural bias in some people working with religious groups due to a potential perceived conflict between religion and science.
Is there one?
Depends on who you ask, and it depends on what part of the world you live in. I think in the United States, for many people, there is. I think I work in Asia Pacific with communities on the ground, and often there's absolutely no conflict at all. I think they're quite naturally merged.
How do they merge in those areas in which you work?
I think actually for a lot of traditional communities, their faith is embedded in their conservation work. It's the there's a spiritual connection to land and water. I think you find that in Hawaii as well. And so I think conservation stewardship is directly tied to those spiritual beliefs and values.
We saw that in Native American culture too, but not something that transcends the greater American culture. Was there a total disconnect there that's not really come back in the same ways that you see it happening in Asia?
I think, again, it depends on what group you're in. I think what has impressed me with this work is as I talk to folks who are from the U.S. who are conservation scientists, many of them are in it because of their faith. So I think if you're talking to them, they don't have that disconnect. So I think it's more it's in the scientific community. There's that there's a mistrust, and I think there's a lot of bias there that we need to work on.
Is that why some of those scientists who are very faith-based don't speak out in those ways?
Yeah, and actually, as I've spoken with folks, as I've been working on this over the last several years, people often tell me they're afraid to talk about their faith with their colleagues. And so I feel like, you know, initially when I started the work, it was really looking externally at how we develop partnerships with faith groups that are going to help us all move our conservation work forward. But now I've started to realize that a lot of this work is really internally in the Nature Conservancy, and figuring out how we can help be more inclusive and accepting of people, allowing people to bring their full selves to work and be more honest about what motivates them and what inspires them to do their work.
What do you see as being the opportunities to do that, and also what are some of the barriers?
The opportunities, I think, are huge. I think we're in a wonderful time right now. I think we have a lot of global challenges, but we have the Pope's encyclical that's just come out, which I think was so inspiring, and it really connected our moral responsibility, our faith, and you know, the need to take action on climate change. And so I think the time is really ripe for us to push that work forward. The challenges, you know, funding is obviously a challenge, getting the funding to support this work. I think also it's really pushing people's boundaries and helping people to be comfortable that faith communities can be some of our most natural allies.
How would you like to see that develop in the United States, particularly in Hawaii?
Well, I think in Hawaii, I think it's actually a bit easier in Hawaii. I think with, as I said, the Native Hawaiian culture, I think there's that spiritual connection to the land and the water. So I think that's already embedded in our conservation work with communities on the ground. I think on the mainland, I think it's a bit more challenging, but I think we have a lot of opportunities to look at how we can engage some of the larger faith-based groups and work together in conservation. I think one of the things that's underappreciated in the scientific community is how active many faith communities already are and have been for many years on conservation activities. So it's really a matter of where we can identify overlapping priorities and how we can work together.
So what are some of those organizations and what are some of those overlapping priorities?
What are some of the organizations?
Who are already doing that? You said they're already faith-based organizations that we just don't talk about or don't know about.
Sure, absolutely. So a lot of there's a lot of interfaith groups actually right now. One is Green Faith that's based on the East Coast, and they actually bring faith communities together. There's Interfaith Power and Light. They do a lot of energy work and tackling climate change. So there's a lot totally outside of the conservation community that's happening on the ground. And so right now we're just exploring how we can help bring our science to bear to those efforts and then how we can help learn from them and build our constituency of conservation science and action on the ground.
As you are engaged in all of that work to make that more known to the rest of us, what do you see has to happen on the other side of that to have the willingness to talk about that conversation or to have that conversation?
I think for me, the first challenge is really bringing everybody in the same room together. I mean, I think it gets back to open dialogue. One of the things that's impressed me, we've had a number of workshops over the last several years bringing together conservation scientists with faith leaders. And after all of those meetings, there is such a recognition of the value of bringing those groups together and talking about and really getting into some of the challenges and the biases and sharing how each group adds value to the other. You know, and I think there's this also a perception that conservation communities will use faith groups as a mouthpiece to spread their mission. And I think that, it really has to go both ways. We have to look at what we bring to the table to help their initiatives and efforts and then how they can help share their efforts and their strengths to support our conservation.
If you had to encapsulate what that nexus looks like, what is it?
It's a difficult question. I think it's really about meeting and trying to find a common ground, identifying for particular partnerships where those overlapping priorities are. I think in some cases it's going to be education. I think it's food security or water security, but finding those priority issues and overlaps and then really helping to figure out how we can most strategically take them forward.
And specifically regarding coral reefs, what's the message that you think needs to be carried?
I think
both ways.
Yeah, I think we're in the midst of one of the worst coral bleaching events globally due to the El Nino combined with climate change. There is a need for hope right now. We're having a meeting of over 2,000 conservation scientists. I just dove on the North Shore. Corals are bleached. People need a reason to be empowered and hopeful. And so I feel like working with faith communities really will help us to bring that inspiration and that hope and help us to tackle climate change.
Dr. Lizzie McLeod, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much
for
having
me.
Thank you.
Lizzie McLeod is the Nature Conservancy's marine climate scientist for the Asia-Pacific region. She's also the lead science, or the science lead, for the Reef Resilience Network, which provides latest scientific guidance and resources to help coral reef managers globally to address the impacts of climate change and local threats. She's in town for the 13th International Coral Reef Symposium. We'll be talking more about that as the week progresses.